Brother Seth. Take your Bible, please, and open to Philippians chapter 3. And will you join me in standing as we honor the reading of God's wonderful, inspired word? Philippians chapter 3, very familiar passage. I'm going to begin reading in verse 12. Philippians 3 and verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, that if I may apprehend that which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to serve you. And Lord, we just pray today that we might be moving on in our life. And we pray if there's someone here today that has never trusted Jesus, they've never asked Christ into their life, that this might be the wonderful day they come to know him as Lord and Savior. Speak to every heart and speak to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, I doubt if there's anyone here today that could look back in the past in their life and would not say, I have some regrets. In fact, the only person, I guess, that wouldn't be able to say or wouldn't say, I have regrets, is a person who lived a perfect life. And, of course, no one has lived a perfect life. There's either regrets in your life that you regret having done some things that you shouldn't have done, or you didn't do some things that you should have done. But at any rate, we all have regrets. I want to tell you right now that I don't have a black past. There's no illegal drugs in my background. There's no marijuana in my background. There's no premarital sex in my background. There's no alcohol in my background. But I'm telling you, I have some regrets. I'm glad that I have some skeletons in my closet that I'm glad you don't know about. Just like I know that you've got some skeletons in your closet that you're glad that I don't know about. But all of us have regrets. And I guarantee you there's someone here this morning. If they woke up, there was a cloud of guilt over their head because of something that they had done in the past. This morning I'm preaching on moving on. I'm moving on. Now, how are we going to move on with those kind of things in our past? Believe it or not, the greatest Christian that ever lived outside the Lord Jesus Christ, he had regrets in his life. Paul had regrets in his life. You see, he believed he was he had lived in such a way that there were things in his life that just wasn't right. He had regrets of his life was full of sorrow. There was full of regret. There was full of heartache and mistakes. He had some regrets. And the interesting thing in this passage of Scripture that we have in front of us today, Paul is going to tell us how that we can deal with a past that is full of guilt. And he's also going to tell us how that we can look forward to a future that is full of glory. And so I want us to look this morning and just to see what we need to do in moving on. There's four things that I want to mention to you. You know, we ask the question, how can I move on? Well, let me suggest four very practical things that I think are found here in the Scripture that would help us to move on in our Christian life. First of all, we must be dissatisfied with our position. Dissatisfied with our position. Look what Paul said in verse 12. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. That is, I'm pressing on. I follow after if that I may apprehend or lay hold on that which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Now the good news about Paul is that he was saved. He was sure. He was sanctified, but he was not satisfied. Now, he could have been. He was the spiritual superstar of the church. And Paul said, even though I'm a man that has walked with God, I have a dynamic prayer life. I'm a person who wins people to Jesus Christ. Even in spite of all these things, Paul could say, I'm not satisfied. Now, as we move on, there are two dangers. If we're to move on, there are two dangers that we face if we're going to be able to move on. Let me mention one. Number one, one of the dangers is this. You have to avoid living in the past. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. But the second danger is far greater than even the first. Not only do you have to avoid living in the past, but secondly, you've got to avoid resting in the present. Resting in the present. You know, some people say, well, you know, I'm not a perfect individual, but I'm sure better than some people because I got up and went to church today. That's right. You see, 60% of Americans won't go to church today, and congratulations, you're a part of the magnificent minority that got up, got dressed, and went to church. Well, someone else will say, well, I'm not perfect, but at least when the offering plate passes by, I put something in, because the average Christian doesn't put anything in. You see, if there was anyone that could rest upon their laurels, it was the Apostle Paul. He had seen the risen Lord. He had seen what heaven was like. He was known as the greatest preacher that ever lived. He was the greatest missionary. He was a soul winner. He was a church planter. He had all of these things going for him. And yet Paul said, still, I'm not what I need and what I ought to be. The reason that Paul was so full of God is because he was so emptied of self. So the first step, if we're to move on in our life, we're going to have to forget and not be satisfied with the things of the past. So first of all, you must be dissatisfied with your position. Now look at step number two. And that is, we must be delivered from the past. Delivered from the past. Look what he says in verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those which are before. What a great lesson Paul is about to teach us. You see, you cannot focus on where you're going until you forget where you have been. You can't focus on where you're going until you forget where you've been. You see, as you look at this passage of Scripture, Paul uses some athletic words. And as he's speaking to us, athletic language, I should say, look as he says, I'm pressing on. That's an athletic term. He says, I'm reaching forward. He talks about the goal. He talks about the prize. See, all of those are racing terms. The Christian life is a race. That's why the writer of Hebrews said, wherefore, since we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the ruler of our faith. You know, Paul was saying, as you run the race, there's one thing that is important. Where you've been isn't important. It's irrelevant where you have been. The thing that is important is where you are and where you're headed, and if you have the determination to go there. You will never sail the ship of your life into the ocean of the future if the anchor is stuck in the mud of the past. You'll never sail the ship of your life into the ocean of the future if your anchor is stuck in the mud of the past. But that's where a lot of people are this morning. You see, they're stuck in the past, and they're thinking nothing about the past. But the Apostle Paul said, I am determined that I'm not going to let my past hinder what I want to do for the Lord in the future. You say, well, boy, that's sure easy for Paul to say. Well, I don't know. Let's see what Paul had to forget. There was a lot of things in his life he had to forget. First of all, he had to forget past guilt. Do you know what Paul was before he became the outstanding preacher and missionary and soul winner and church planner that he was? You know what he was before that time? Paul was a murderer. He was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor of the church. And yet, he had to forget that the past guilt that was in his life. But not only the past guilt in his life, but he also had to forget past grief. You see, he suffered tremendously. There were people that attacked him. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. The scripture tells us they drug him outside the city as for dead. He had to forget past grief in his life. But then thirdly, he had to forget past glory. As far as the church was concerned, the Apostle Paul was the toast of the town. He was a spiritual superstar of his day, but he had to forget past glory. And then he also had to forget past grudges. You see, there were those who had betrayed Paul. Those who mistreated him, they'd lied to him and lied about him. And so the Lord said, Paul, for you to go forward, you're going to have to forget past grudges, past glory, past grief, and past guilt if you're going to serve me. There are some of you here this morning that are going to have to forget the past failures in your life if you're ever going to move forward. Look what he says, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward. Now let's look at this word forget. Forgetting those things, he said. I don't want you to misunderstand what that word really means. If it doesn't mean that we're going to fail to remember. You see things that may have happened in your life and you say, you know, that's so scary that happened. How do I ever get those out of my mind, out of my life? I want to tell you something. It means there's no way that you're ever going to erase the past from your memory. You see, this word forget means this. No longer be influenced by. No longer be affected by. Let me give an illustration. You remember what God said in Jeremiah 31:34? He said, I will remember your sin no more. You remember that? He wasn't talking about, did it mean that God had a bad memory? Did it mean that he all of a sudden he had Alzheimer's disease and he just couldn't remember? No, that's not what he meant at all. What the Lord meant, I will remember your sin no more. Here's what God was saying. I will no longer allow what happened to you in your past to affect the relationship that you and I can have. I will forget your sin. I will no longer let what happened to you affect the relationship that we can have together. So we have to forget past grudges, past guilt, past glory. And we have to forget the past, and in effect, we're going to be and do everything that God wants us to do. One of my favorite stories is about General Robert E. Lee. It was after the Civil War, and there was a lady that was a staunch Southerner. But oh, she was so bitter, and so bitter about the war. Some way, General Lee found out about it, and he decided that he was going to visit this lady. And so he went to her house. He knocked on the door. And when she came to the door, she just was absolutely, unbelievably shocked that there stood her hero, General Robert E. Lee. So she invited him in. They started talking. And after a little bit, she marveled at the fact that there was no bitterness in General Lee's life. He loved his country. He was glad that the war was over. And he was ready to move on with the rest of his life. But she said, I'm bitter. I'm bitter about the war. Generally, ask her a question. You tell me one reason why you're so bitter about the war. She said, I'll show you. And so she said, you come with me. And they went to the front of the house again. And she looked out and showed him a scarred remains of a prized tree that was in her front yard. That tree goes all the way back to the Revolutionary War. And she said that when the Union soldiers came through, they just shot the limbs off of that tree. And not only that, they disfigured it and put their initials all over the tree. And that tree will never, ever be the same again. That's why I'm bitter. She says, I'm going to ask you a question, General Lee. What do you think I ought to do about that tree? You know what General Lee said to her? He said, I'll tell you what you need to do about that tree. You need to cut it down and forget it. Cut it down and forget it. That's exactly what Paul says here. Forgetting those things which are before. There comes a time in your life that you need to go back to those old dead, barren trees that mean nothing for our progress in serving the Lord in the future. And we need to cut them down and forget it and to move on. You see, first of all, if you're going to move on for the Lord, you're going to have to be dissatisfied with your position. Secondly, you're going to have to be delivered from your past. And then thirdly, you've got to be devoted to a person. Devoted to a person. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Those two words, one thing, they're important in the Bible. Do you remember the time that the rich young ruler came to Jesus? And Jesus asked him, he said, have you kept this commandment and have you kept that commandment? You remember what the rich young ruler said? Oh, all of those I have kept since I was a youth. And Jesus said, one thing you lack. Now that raises a question. What was the one thing that Paul was after? Well, look in verse 14. He tells us, I press toward the mark and the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see that word mark. I press toward the mark. It can also be translated goal. And that word mark or goal is a word in the Greek language that is the word soko. And we get our word telescope from that. And what it actually means is to look at. Or to mark and to fix your eye upon. And so what Paul is saying here is, I've got one goal in mind, and I have fixed my eye upon that one goal, and I'm reaching forth to that one goal. Paul's life was like a rifle, and he was shooting that one bullet toward the goal in which he had set out in front. It was a goal, one thing. I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul had a very simple recipe for living. You need to set the right goals in your life that you might be able to build your life around reaching the goal that you set. You see, and that's the problem. How in the world are we going to set the right goals? So many times people set the wrong goals for their life. Someone who says, I'm going to set as my number one goal in life is to make all the money that I can make. That's the wrong goal. Someone says, I'm going to set as my number one goal that I want to be successful. That's the wrong goal. How can we set the goals that would govern our life? Let me give you four questions. Four questions that you can ask that will help you to set the right goals for your life. Question number one. Will it help me to have a deeper and more intimate relationship with God? Will it really put me even a closer to the Lord? Will it help me to have a deeper and a more intimate relationship with God? Number two, the second question is this. Will it help make someone else more successful? You know, the question that we ask that is the wrong question. We say, well, will it help make me successful? But that's the wrong question. We need to be asking the question, will it help me to have a more deeper and intimate relationship with God? And will it help someone else to be successful? The third question is this. Do I have to violate a spiritual principle in order to reach that goal? Do I have to violate a spiritual principle? And then number four, will it fulfill God's purpose for my life? Will it help me and reach the goal and do what God really wants for me to do? Well, let me give you the fourth step if we're going to be moving forward. You must be determined in your passion. You must be determined in your passion. Look at verse 12. Not as though I have already attained, either were made perfect, but I follow after. You know what he's saying? I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. Look at verse 14. He said, I press toward the mark. If you're a basketball player, Paul is in a full court press. He's pressing on. He says, I may become discouraged, but I'm pressing on. I may feel like I'm defeated at times, but I'm pressing on. I may feel like I want to quit, but I'm pressing on, always pressing on with a determination to do what God wants me to do. You know, we live in a society today that people don't know a whole lot about simply persevering. They don't know a whole lot about determination and endurance. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. We have the attitude if the boss is a little bit unreasonable, hey, quit the job. If the course is a little bit difficult, drop out of class. If the wife burns the biscuits, divorce her. You see, we don't have the determination that we need to have. If you're going to be moving on, you can't quit. It must be pressing on and pressing on. Historians concede that Abraham Lincoln, at the very least, was probably the second or third best president that we've ever had. But there's some things about President Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, that maybe you don't know about. Listen to these. In 1832, he lost his job and he was defeated in his bid for the Illinois legislature. In 1833, his business went bankrupt. In 1834, he was elected to the state legislature, but the next year, his sweetheart died. And the next year, he simply had a nervous breakdown. In 1838, he is defeated for the state speaker of the House. In 1843, he was defeated for the race in Congress. In 1846, he was elected to Congress, but 2 years later, he lost re-election. In 1849, he was rejected for a federal land officer's appointment. In 1854, he was defeated for the Senate. In 1856, he was defeated for the nomination of vice president. In 1858, he was defeated again for Senate. Up until 1858, Abraham Lincoln was a loser. But he went on to become the president of the United States of America. You know why? Because he understood something. He understood that failure is not final. Failure is never fatal. Now I'm going to give you a thought this morning that I hope that you never forget. And you senior adults need to grasp this. God's not finished with you until you draw your last breath. God's not finished with you until you draw your last breath. If you're alive today, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He's not finished with you until you draw your last breath. And if God's not finished with us until we draw our last breath, then don't you be finished with God until you draw your last breath. My mother lived to be 100 years old. Her birthday was the 21st of March. She made it to that birthday 100 years old. Next day, she died. Up until the time she was 97 years old, listen, she taught the biggest Sunday school class in her church. It wasn't the senior adults that she was teaching. She was teaching young adults. It not only was the largest Sunday school class in the church, but it was also the fastest growing Sunday school church class in the church. Up until 97, she drove her own car. You wouldn't want to ride with her, but she drove her own car. Up until 97 years old, she lived by herself. What I'm saying is, don't quit on God until you draw your last breath. Paul said, I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. What I'm trying to say is that because of the grace of God and the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God, it doesn't matter what's happened to you in the past. That's not what the important thing is. It's where you are and what you're going to do ahead and your determination to reach that goal. You say, but Pastor, you don't understand what I've done. I don't care what you've done. You don't understand where I've been. I don't care where you've been. You don't understand the guilt that I carry. I don't care about the guilt that you carry. What matters is where you're headed, and are you determined to reach that goal? You know what Paul was trying to tell us in this verse? Can I just simplify it? I think what he was simply trying to say, as he said, I'm pressing on, is every day with Jesus is a new day. This week, God reminded me of a song that I hadn't sung. I sung when I was a kid. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Anybody ever sung that song? Yeah. Every day with Jesus, sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and He's the one I'm living for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Whatever happened yesterday, whether it was good or whether it was bad in your life, it didn't make any difference. You see, what makes a difference, what makes a difference is your life committed to Jesus. What makes a difference is Jesus, Lord, in your life. Why don't you say today, I'm going to move on. I'm going to leave my sin behind me, and I'm going to move on. I'm pressing on. Why don't you give your heart to Jesus and say, I'm moving on. I'm going to make Him my Lord and my Savior. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are before, I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm moving on. Are you moving on? Will you stand with me, please, in prayer? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, do you know Jesus? Have you trusted Him as Savior? If you haven't, you need to come and trust Him as the Savior of your life. And begin your life. You see, He can forgive whatever's in your life. Whatever has happened in the past, He can forgive because of His wonderful grace and because of His wonderful forgiveness. So I want to invite you today to come to Jesus. Dear Christian, are you moving on in your life? Forget those things that are behind and move on for Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for the challenge for our lives. And God, thank You so much how You love us. And You've shown us that love through Jesus Christ. And I pray today, God, that You speak to the heart of that man or that woman, that young man, that young lady that needs to trust Jesus today as their Savior. May they May they come today trusting Him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.